On tonight's show, I will be talking with Julius, a photographer based out of Sydney, Australia. Julius has been making quite a name for himself on Instagram. Welcome to the show, Julius. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. It's so good to have you here on the Street Photography Show. I'm really looking forward to this conversation between you and I. I was blown away by your work on Instagram, and I'm so happy that you agreed to do this.
Thank you.
Julius, tell us a bit about yourself. Where do you currently live, and what is your background in photography, and how did you get started in photography? And specifically, how did you get into street photography?
I live in Sydney, in Australia, so it's a beautiful summer, nice and hot at the moment, completely opposite to where you are, Mark.
Yep. Don't rub it in.
You know, I'm wearing jeans and t-shirt at the moment, you know, just completely relaxed. How did I get into photography? So I haven't been in photography for that long at all. So I've been doing photography for about just over 12 months now, probably started off middle of 2022. I started off with iPhone, actually. I was using purely iPhone for a very long time. I quite like the fact that I always have my iPhone with me and I can just take photograph whenever I want. I got my first proper, I call them proper camera, because that's what they are. So I got myself a proper camera probably about 12 months ago, just before Christmas last year, because when I went out for a photo walk with a bunch of photographer and a model, and I was the only one using an iPhone. So all my friends, they kind of rub it in.
It's like, what are you doing with that?
And yeah, I know. Yeah, what are you doing with that? And the model also like gave me a look like, are you a proper photographer? You know, with a phone. You know, so I love photography, right? I kind of enjoy just taking photo, anything and everything. I got into street photography specifically because I live in Sydney. It is a big bustling city. I just happen to be around people. What I see every day is normally urban stuff, right? So people and, you know, doing their things, going on with life, you know, and I just take photo of whatever caught my eyes, I guess.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, for someone that's only been doing it for a year or two, you've really been able to amass such a following on Instagram in a short period of time. When you look at your images, it's not hard to understand why. The images are amazing. I mean, they are phenomenal, especially your streetscapes and the ones at night in particular. For me anyways, they really appealed and they really grabbed me. And you've got obviously the eye. I mean, you've got the gift.
Thank you.
In such a short period of time, you've been able to create this body of work that's very impressive. And, you know, my only thing I would say to you is just keep doing what you're doing because you're on a roll, man. These images are phenomenal.
Thank you.
It's incredible what you've done in such a short period of time. And you can truly tell that you're not only passionate about it, but also very gifted.
Thank you very much. You know, I guess I do love photography. I guess that's probably one thing that, you know, pushed me into this whole area. You know, it's not because I have to, but because the more I'm doing it, the more it's kind of addictive. You know what I'm trying to say? It's very addictive, right? It goes hand in hand with the community that you build around you, I guess. You know, we're very fortunate in Sydney that we have fantastic community of photographers. I do enjoy both. I love going out on my own, music on, with my camera, completely invisible. That's what I feel like, you know. Nobody knows who I am and I can just walk around, photos and things like that. Really taking my time to get the shot that I want. Equally, I also like going out with other photographers, you know, having a laugh. I always learn a few different things whenever I go out with other photographers, different composition, different ideas. And I've been very, very, very fortunate over the last 12, 18 months that I have many, many experienced photographers that took me out. You know, they taught me different tricks. And for me, that's a lot more meaningful than watching YouTube videos, I guess, like a lot of people. I think one of the things that I enjoy about photography, I always look at my camera, right? It's for a lot of people, camera is what you use to capture an image, right? But for me, camera is a lot more than that, you know, a lot more than that in the sense that my camera is a tool to connect with other people. It's a tool to connect with my subject. It's a tool to tell a story, I guess, you know, of a specific point in time or to capture a memory or to tell a story about a subject.
You've mentioned that you like going out with other people. You find that you learn something when you go out with these people. And when you do go out, do you go out in smaller groups or do you go out in larger groups?
both, I guess, Mark. There are times where I go out to shoot with another photographer on a one-on-one basis. There are times where I go out on photo walks with more than 100 photographers. I don't know, man. Like, I guess like going out with a smaller group is probably what I like, what I prefer more. There's a whole bunch of us that would go out in an evening. We call the session beer and camera. So so we normally...
Oh, I know those.
you get the idea. Beer and camera, in the sense that like we would bring our camera and we would go out at night, walk and take photos for 60 minutes or so. And then we stop at a pub, have one beer, you know, and then we move again for another 60 minutes.
That's one of the main reasons why I like going in a group.
Just a perfect evening, right?
No, it is a great time. Aside from the people that you shoot with as sources of inspiration, have you come across any other photographers, whether it be online or through a magazine, a publication that that has inspired you?
Absolutely, you know. The one that inspired me the most to specifically on with street photography was Henri Cartier-Bresson.
The legend.
The legendary street photographer, you know, the father of street photographer.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the one that inspired me the most. When I started with street photography specifically, I spent hours and hours studying his photographs. Majority of his work was obviously black and white. He has this unique ability of capturing candid moments, I guess, you know, in a beautiful, unique way. It's more than just an image. It's a story that he's trying to tell. So I really love the storytelling aspect of his work.
Now, it's interesting, you know, yes, he was a black and white guy. You know, there is no ifs, ands, and buts about that. And when I look at your work, obviously, you are quite the opposite. You are all about color and vibrant color. And even the way you edit your images, I can tell it's all about pop. I'm wondering if you could give the listeners some insight into that as why you prefer the color and what's behind your technique in terms of the color and the vividness and the pop. Why do you like doing that?
Every photographer's, the way we edit our work, you know, it's a creative process, right? It's a creative process and, you know, it's very subjective as well, I guess. For me, when I try to edit my shots, and a lot of my images are night photography, I like to, you know, brightness, that vividness of colors against the darkness of night. I find that, you know, quite appealing. I have some work as well that's obviously in black and white, so I don't just shoot colors, you know. There are times where I decided that I feel like shooting black and white. But yeah, a lot of my work are in colors, and I like to work with color tones, you know, just to, you know, I guess create. It's all about my creative vision, right, and what I try to achieve with that particular image.
You haven't been shooting very long. You know, as I mentioned to you before, the work is impressive and your images are unique. That's the word to use, I think. There is something about your images. When you look at your feed, there is a commonality amongst your images. Everybody who would look at your work would say, yeah, this is work that's done by Julius, because interesting perspective, leading lines, vivid colors, lots of pop, nice sharp blacks, and the tones are consistent. Like, I mean, you know, one could go on and on and on, and your images are unique. And so whether you realize it or not, you do have a style of your own. And that's the whole point, right? That's the whole point with any photographer, just to have your own style and defining yourself. Like I said, you've defined yourself in a short period of time, and you've done it in such a outstanding way that your work is getting recognized. Obviously, it's apparent online, and you're only going to get better and better and better. I'll tell you that right now. So you do have a particular style. And I think that if anything, you may find that going forward, it may improve, or you may even say, I'm going to add a different flair to my style or to my presentation. As a photographer, we all think, how can I present this image? Now, let's keep in mind, back in those days, you know, when Henri Bresson was shooting and all those guys, black and white was kind of like the staple. It was what format most of these guys would use because of, well, various reasons, which I'm not going to get into. That was the norm, right? Whereas now it's the opposite. Now the norm is color. Digital is taken over, and digital is predominantly, let's be honest, 98%. Like, if you're just at a birthday party, what are you going to take it in? You're going to take it in color, right? That's just the way it is. So you've taken the color and you've taken it to new heights. Your editing has taken the look to new heights, and good on you. I really love it. So yeah, that's phenomenal work.
I think with the type of work that I've done, my editing and so on, it's evolving, you know. And you're absolutely right, Mark. You know, it is an evolving process, because if I look at, you know, some of my earlier works from, you know, 12 months ago and compare it to what I produce in the last few weeks, they're very different.
And I think that's also true because you're brand new to it.
Exactly. And the other thing that you probably notice as well is, yes, look, my work is predominantly street photography, but it's a mixed bag, right? I mean, if you look at my feed, you have some portraits there, you know, you have some food photography, you have some landscape. There's different theme going on as well. And that's a conscious decision as well, in the sense that I feel that I am a better portrait photographer that will also have an impact on, you know, my street photography work, if you understand what I mean.
So you mentioned Sony. Now, you're using a Sony A9 and a Sony A7 III, right?
That's right, yeah.
What lenses are you using on those cameras?
So I have three lenses. My go-to lens, I'm an 85mm guy. That's what I normally go out with. 90% of the time, I go out with an 85mm prime. And I use a Zeiss Batiste lens. I also have a 135mm lens that I use occasionally, also a Zeiss Batiste lens. For those times that I just want to shoot and not think, I have a 24-70 Sony G Master lens that I use.
So, I mean, you've got a zoom in there, you got primes.
Yeah.
Do you carry them all with you when you're on the streets?
No.
Well, sometimes you'd be surprised. Some guys could walk around with a big bag. I don't get that.
I know, right? Like, I mean, I'm those guys, the type of photographer that, you know, the lighter, the better kind of thing, right?
Typically, I'll go out with one camera and one lens and that's it.
That's me too. You know, I know it's just that too bad, and, you know, work harder, right?
That's right. You just got to walk, or instead of zooming, well, mind you, I don't really use zoom.
It's really funny. I actually started off with 24-70 90% of the time. And 24-70 was a good lens in the sense that it covers probably majority of what you want to shoot, if you understand what I mean. But over time, I really enjoy going out with prime lenses. Look, majority of street photographers out there, they normally go out with, I don't know, 35mm, right? I think that's the standard for street photography. They want something relatively wide angle.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different. I mean, I go out typically with a 40 to 50 mil. I do have a 14 to 42 Olympus because I shoot with Olympus Micro Four Thirds, and I do have that. What I like about those cameras is they're so small. Like, they're almost pocket-sized kind of cameras. And I literally can carry both of them in my bag because they don't take up much space, and they don't weigh a hell of a lot. So I can typically walk around no problem with two Olympus Micro Four Third bodies. And on one of them, I'll have my 25mm, which is a 50 equivalent. And then on the other one, I'll have the Pancake 14 to 42 EZ, which I love.
It covers a lot of ground, right?
It's a great lens. It's not a 1.8 or anything like that, but it doesn't matter. It's still phenomenal. If you know what you're doing, you can really pull some amazing images from it. When you're out there and, you know, you're shooting on the streets, I mean, I'm just trying to think of Sydney, because I don't know Sydney at all, because I've never been there. When you go out, would you go out with an idea of what you want to capture, or do you go out just walking and hanging out with your friends and, you know, hanging out with the group? Do you go out on a mission, or do you go out just like, okay, whatever hits me?
I guess the answer to that is both, you know. There are times that I went out with an intent, if you understand what I mean. I was, you know, out for a mission. I had an idea of what sort of shots I wanted to capture. Some other times, and majority of the times, I go out with no objective in mind, just to spend time with the camera and just to have fun. You know, some of the better shots was unplanned. That's the real truth, you know. Some of the better shots, you only realize after when you get home, and when you check the images that you captured. You know, sometimes you went back and had a look at some of the images that you captured from months ago, and you realize, gee, like that's a nice shot.
Yeah.
Why didn't I realize, you know?
And aren't you glad you didn't delete it?
No. You know, but yeah, it's really funny, because sometimes you look at, you know, a particular image at different point in time, and they had different impression.
Well, that's why it's good to keep your images for some time, so that way you can go back, you know, and reflect on them. That's the advantage of digital, right? You don't have to delete it. You can just store it, because it's not costing you anything, right? Other than some storage space. But I mean, computer storage space is fairly cheap nowadays, and really it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot when you think about it in the grand scheme of things. So it's great that you do that, because I think a lot of people are too quick to call and to delete. And then, you know, once it's deleted, you can't get that image back or those images. I think it's good practice to hang on to your images for some time until you've really reflected the hell out of them. Then you can delete them if you feel like, I don't see anything here. The other thing you could always do is, and I mean, I was told this once, and I've never tried it, but it kind of makes sense. You know, even though you may not see something, you could always get someone, like, you know, your girlfriend or your friend or your wife or whatever, to look at the images and see what they see. And sometimes that might spark something in you. It makes sense, right? Because, you know, that old saying, two heads are better than one.
different perspective, right? You know?
Yeah, I think that's important for sure.
That's probably another thing that I realized this year. So I started off another group online called the Edit Challenge. I don't know whether you noticed it or not, Mark.
Yeah, I did actually. Yep.
Yeah, the Edit Challenge, and exactly for that purpose, right? The main, so this group, just to give you a bit of a background, is currently about 50, 60 photographers from all around the world. Every week we edit one particular image, and you know, we ended up with 20, 30, 40 different edit variations of the same image. It's really, really cool because, let's face it, I mean, majority of the time as a photographer, we only edit our own image. You know, we only came across, you know, our images to edit. And by seeing different, you know, different style of editing, it's really, really, you know, good creatively, you know.
It is,
and
actually,
to be able to edit, you know, yeah. And to be able to edit different style of images that you don't normally edit.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's another thing as well that I found to be very, very constructive this year.
Going back to your editing then, what are you using? Are you using Adobe? What are you using to edit your pictures?
Full disclosure, about 18 months ago, when I was using my iPhone to take photograph, I was a complete newbie, right? So I only used the native app on your iPhone to edit. Very, very basic. From there, another guy, you know, really nice guy in Singapore that I met online, he taught me how to use Snapseed.
Okay, right? Snapseed. Yeah.
Very, very user-friendly, and I quite enjoy using that. And then another guy in Belgium, you know, decided to teach me how to use Lightroom. So all my editing, I was very fortunate that somebody actually took the time and actually spent months online to teach me how to edit properly. So, you know, complete strangers that became really, really good friends now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm a huge believer that most photographers are generous in sharing their knowledge. You know, if you actually reach out and say, hey, teach me how to do this, majority of the time they say, okay, I'll teach you. With my editing right now, just back to your question, so I use Lightroom all the time, and I find it very powerful. And the other thing is, well, probably another interesting thing that that a lot of people don't realize about my editing is all my editing, 100% of all my editing is done on Lightroom mobile app. So I don't use the desktop version of Lightroom at all. So all my editing is done on the phone.
So what do you do then? When you take your shots, I guess, on your Sonys, you upload them to the cloud?
From my Sony camera, I just pick the images that I want. I use the Bluetooth to transfer the images that I want to my phone. You know, a lot of the time, you know, the image that I upload online is fresh. It's probably within 10, 15 minutes of capturing the shots.
I'm a Lightroom guy as well, but I will confess I do use it on the desktop. I haven't gotten used to the mobile app. I do have it. I don't use it. And in fact, I'm still humming and hawing whether or not I should just delete it. How often do you go out? Like, and when you go out, how many images do you find yourself coming away with? Can you quantify that?
I can. I certainly can. So when I go out, I try to go out at least two or three times a week, at a minimum. And when I go out, it doesn't have to be hours at a time. Even 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. It makes me happy, you know. It just makes me happy. After a really shit day in the office, right? Terrible day, stressful day. I go out with my camera and, you know, music basically, and just for an hour. That is so therapeutic for me, you know. That's my de-stress. So I try to do that at least two, three times a week. And even on those times where I don't have my camera, I still have my iPhone, you know, and I still take photographs with my iPhone. As a general rule, I always try to take some shots every day. So always take some photographs every day, whether it's with my camera or with my iPhone. And I always try to edit at least a few images a day as well, you know, so that level of routine and discipline as well to try to improve.
What have you discovered about yourself as a person and as a photographer in the short time that you have been de-stressing with this newfound hobby of photography in the last, you know, short while that you've been doing it?
For me, photography is a creative pursuit, and it's a long lost passion, you know. So back in school, a long time ago, my favorite subjects was art and business, you know. And when I finished school, my late father, I had a long discussion with my parents, and my late father said, you know, there's a lot of hungry artists out there, you know. And I decided to pursue business, you know. So for a long time, it's all about business, about career, you know. I didn't do anything artistic for a very, very long time. And when I discovered discovered photography, you know, 12, 18 months ago, something inside me really, really came alive, I guess, you know, and I realized how much I miss that creative artistic pursuit. And since then, I kind of, you know, throw everything into it, right? I mean, it's becoming a passion. I really enjoy the community aspect of photography as well, of, you know, meeting like-minded professionals. There's a lot of great people out there. Like, the aspect of photography that really, really drives me is the ability to connect with other people. You know, I really enjoy that aspect as well. I like, you know, the community building aspect of photography as well. I felt that, you know, photography is a lot of people can relate to, you know, it's a common language, right? It doesn't matter what sort of background, what sort of language, what sort of cultural background you're from. The common language is the love of photography. I really like that aspect. It doesn't matter who you are, your background, you know, at the end of the day, you are a guy or a girl with a camera. Yeah, I really love that, you know, and just meeting other people that, and the opportunity of actually making new friends as well is fantastic.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you definitely enjoy your groups. and why not? I mean, especially if you're going out for dinner and beer after, right? I certainly enjoy that part of it. I do like going out by myself more just because I like to be in my zone, especially when you're using a film camera, which I'm assuming you haven't touched yet. You haven't tried film. Is that correct?
No. A couple of the guys that I shoot with, they use film. You know, my line of thinking is, A, you know, why? You know, it's a very expensive exercise.
It can be, yeah.
I understand that there's a certain appeal of shooting with film. I might get around to it at one stage, I guess.
You probably will. I mean, at one point, I mean, because you haven't been doing it very long, I wouldn't be surprised if at one point you do, you know, curiosity gets the better of you. Even if you don't do it long term, you may just try it and say, okay, well, you know what, I've done it. And now, you know, yeah, I either love it or no, you know what, I still don't get it. At the end of the day, you just have to shoot. That's the important thing, right? You start it the way I tell people to start. But look, just start with the phone in your pocket and go from there. If you get that photography bug in you, then invest in, you know, a camera like a Sony A5. Then you can get cameras like that, because now you've prove to yourself that you're passionate and you're enjoying it. And so spending the money on better gear makes sense.
Makes sense. That's right.
Which also does, let's be honest, make your work leaps and bounds better than, you know, a phone. There's no comparison, especially with the cameras that you have. iPhones are great, but they can't compare with the Sonys that you own.
Yeah, I mean, like, for certain situations, things like that, you know, you can't really compare a phone to a proper mirrorless camera. I go out, as I told you earlier, right, I go out with an 85 mils prime majority of the time. And, you know, with that 85 mils prime lens, there's also limitation, right, of what you can capture. Believe it or not, I still took out my iPhone to shoot as well when I go out with a camera.
If you can, why not, I guess, right?
You know, I use both, right? So, I mean, that's another confession as well. I mean, even if I go out with a camera, there are some shots that, you know, my phone can capture better than the camera.
When someone looks at your images, what's one thing you hope they take away from looking at your work?
I want them to feel happy. As cheesy as it might sound, I just want people to feel happy, you know, just to put a smile on someone's face. That's it. If you look at my image and you feel some level of happiness, then that's great. You know, I'm happy with that.
Do you think going forward, do you foresee yourself potentially publishing a book or doing an exhibit?
That's probably not on the horizon at the moment. My main focus at the moment with my photography is to do more charity type work. So I've done something similar about 2 weeks ago. So I started the first Sydney charity photo walk a few weeks ago, and we raised just over $6,500 for the Sydney Children's Hospital. We had about 150 photographers in attendance. So my focus right now is to build on that event, and already in the planning stage of the next event in February next year. I really want to use photography as a way to, you know, to give back and to do good in community.
Would you also maybe even consider teaching photography to, let's say, you know, children or those less fortunate?
Look, I enjoy sharing knowledge with other people. I guess I enjoy connecting photographers. So, and I've done so in the past, like in the sense of connecting one photographer to another photographer that might be more experienced or more skilled in different areas. So I've done that already. I enjoy doing the connecting part of photography, of connecting different people and building community, as I mentioned earlier. I guess when you host an event with, you know, 150 photographers, you know, there's a level of ripple effect, right? Where, you know, a lot of connections being made with different photographers, and I think that's a good thing.
What's one tip you could give people if they asked you, you know, how can I improve my photography? What's one tip you could give them? Because, I mean, you're clearly a very talented photographer.
you have to be prepared to spend time with your camera. So, you know, if you're a pilot, the key measure is flying hours, right? As a photographer, I think there's no substitute of spending time with your camera, going out there and actually shooting, because the more time you spend with your camera, the more things you notice. You train your eyes to spot something that you wouldn't notice before. I think if this one tip is just, you know, go out there, you know, like spend time with your camera. I have never been in a situation where I went out with my camera and actually regretted going out afterwards, right? So never, not once. Just spend more time with your camera. It's like any relationship. Right? You know, build a relationship with your camera.
I think that's true. I think the more you do something, the better you get at it. And unfortunately, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't had a whole heck of a lot of time to go out and shoot. I'm in a different position, right? I have obviously responsibilities that take away from my time. And of course, I've got this podcast now, which also takes a lot of my time. And that's good because this is something that I've always wanted to do. I think this is, you know, and this is great because I'm actually combining two passions of mine. I'm combining audio and I love photography because I've been, you know, I've been involved in photography since the 80s. It's really about the time, right? Getting out there and doing it. Because you're right, the more time you can spend honing your craft, the better you will get, the more you will succeed, and the better your presentation will be. Because your images, you know, you'll see with time, any photographer will see with time that as they practice and as they continue to do it, the images are just going to get better. They're going to get more powerful, so they're connecting with people. And you're going to feel better as a person. You're going to evolve as an artist. You're going to be on a different plateau going forward. And that's all good. And yes, that's an excellent piece of advice because there's so many good tips that people can take away from others. I think that's a good one. I think just doing it, right? Just like, you know, Nike's logo was always the best, right? Just do it.
You know, just to add to that as well is, you know, when you see like some amazing images online and so on, and you think to yourself, like, there's no way I could ever, you know, capture an image like that. The honest reality is for every excellent image that you've seen out there, it didn't happen overnight for those photographers, right? It took a lot of time, sweat, a lot of efforts behind the scene that nobody even seen.
I'm looking at your Instagram feed and there's one image I'd like to just briefly touch on, and maybe you could give the listeners a little more insight on this image, but you posted it on November 29th, so not too long ago. It's labeled Kaleidoscope. You're in the middle of the street. Obviously, it's a, you know, it's a city. There looks to be what I think are trolley tracks in the ground, and it's obviously nighttime, but I'm wondering if you could give the listeners some insight as to where you were, what's going on, what time of the night is this, what were you thinking? Could you give us some insight into the image?
Okay, sure. So that image was taken with an iPhone. So that's the first thing that I tell you. It wasn't taken with a Sony. It was actually an iPhone. That's number one. Number two, quite late at night after Christmas party for my gym. So I was actually, I've been drinking when I took that shot. Probably another thing I would tell you as well, some of my better work was not taken sober, you know.
Careful now, we don't want to promote drinking and shooting.
No, we don't want to do that, right? But it was taken late at night. I was, you know, I just finished Christmas party. What else can I tell you? You know, it was raining. It was about an hour before that shot. There was a crazy rain.
I can see that the ground is wet.
Everything was wet and reflective. And I love that shot, right? I'm, you know, probably if you've been following my work, whenever I see rain forecasts, I got excited. You know, I just really love reflection. So particularly like on rainy days, you know. So I think some of my better photographs, I think, was taken after rain or during rain.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great shot.
The way I edited that image was really just to highlight the colors, right? And the title, Kaleidoscope, kind of captured, you know, kaleidoscope of colors.
Well, listen, Julius, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time. It was a lot of fun talking to you and learning more about your work. Where can our listeners go to see your work?
All the work that I publish is on Instagram. So my Instagram tag is Photos by Julius. That's PhotosByYulius. So Photos by Julius. Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to connect with everyone else, you know, like-minded photographers from all around the world.
Listeners, we'll have those links in the show notes below, so you can check out his work by clicking on that.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much again. Really appreciated it.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to join this podcast, Mark.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show, as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.